This chapter contains a very familiar account of a miracle. And it starts with a blind man who eventually could see clearly. And it ended with men who said they can see, but were totally blind. We see the miracle begins with an interesting question. And in answering that question, Christ gives us, first of all, the purpose. That's your first point, note takers. The purpose is in verses 3-5, but what was that interesting question to which I referred? As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, here's the question, Master, who did sin? This man? Or was it his parents that he was born blind? Why would they ask that? Anybody? We're going to give a chance for some audio participation this evening, perhaps. What led to the disciples asking that question? It gives us some insight into the thinking of that particular day and age. I'm about answering it for you, aren't I?
Everything bad that happened was as a result of sin.
Okay, there was kind of a common assumption, belief, that things don't just happen. And that if something bad has happened, there's got to be some reason, and that reason must be sin. When a person sins, there's going to be consequences, and therefore, now, are there consequences for sin? Yes or no? Sure there are. But does every bad thing that happens have tied with it some sin which has caused it? No. But in that day and age, this was a very popular thought among the Jewish people that, if there is some physical disability or something, it's got to be sin related. So, in a sense, we call it an unusual question. It wasn't that unusual for the thinking of that day when his disciples said, Master, who sinned? Whose fault was this blindness? That this man was born blind, never seen the light of day once. Was it his fault, or is this some sin that's passed on down to the next generation from the parent and something they have done? Well, we've already given you that first point. The Lord, in verses 3-5, tells us the purpose. The purpose. Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Sin is not at the root of this man's blindness. But that the works of God should be made manifest, evident in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, in answering this question, when he said, this is not sin related, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, we read elsewhere and we understand that blindness was of God. It was, God just sent blindness to this man. Verse 11 of Exodus 4, note takers, Exodus 11, 4. And the Lord said unto him, to Moses, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? These things that mankind was, back in our Lord's day, tempted to blame on some particular thing. In his conversation with Moses out there in the wilderness, he said, Moses, I cause everything. If I want someone to be silent, I make them a mute. I don't let them talk. If I want somebody to be deaf, I don't let them hear. If I want somebody to see, I give them eyesight. If I want somebody to be blind, I cause blindness. I am the one that causes all of these things. That's God's prerogative. So the answer here in John chapter 9, the Lord simply told his disciples the purpose, what caused this, it was not sin. And the Lord says it was very specific as far as the reason. This was blindness by design, so God could illustrate clearly his works in this blind man. As the Lord said, it wasn't anybody's sin, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Manifest is to make visible, clear, or known, or to uncover, or to lay bare, or to reveal. That's why this man has been given blindness, so that the works of God could be made clear, so that the works of God could just simply be revealed and known to all who would see. And in the following verses then, he reminded his followers that while he was here in his earthly ministry, he was very careful to take advantage of every opportunity he could to make plain the works of God for all to see. I must work the works of him that sent me, that while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. As we think of what it was that compelled our Lord, I just translate this to us just a little bit. Do we do everything we can to take advantage of the opportunities that come our way to show the works of God? to point others to the Lord? I don't. You say, Pastor, that's terrible. I'm being honest. Do you? As we look at this, we notice the purpose of this whole incident in those first five verses. But let's notice how the works of God were going to be made manifest by number two, looking at the process in verses 6 through 34. The process. How did Christ make the works of man of God manifest? Well, A, there was unmistakable evidence in verses 6 through 9. It tells us, verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed or rubbed some of that clay on the eyes of the blind man with that clay. And he told this man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. He sent him to the pool, which has that same name. And he went, therefore, and washed and came, what? Seeing. Now the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? We're going to call his name Fred. Isn't this Fred? We've seen him here sitting by the wayside for years, begging. Yeah, no, because some said, it looks like Fred. But others said, I don't know. And the blind man, he got wind of that, and at the end of verse 9, instead of, there are some said, you know, he looks an awful lot like Fred. And about that time, Fred piped up and he said, it's me. I am he. As we think of the miracle of sight restored, we think of the identifying of the man. But we see B, the convincing testimony in verses 10 through 34. When he said, it's me, Fred. Verse 10, then said they unto him, first of all, how? How did this happen? How were your eyes opened? And it doesn't say, so that you can see. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and smeared it on my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Next thing that we see here is, where is he? Where is he? We'd like to see this man. And he said, I don't know where he is. Well, about then, it tells us in verse 13, they brought the man to the Pharisees. that had been blind. And a very key feature here in verse 14. What day was it that Jesus did this? Oh, it was a Sabbath day. It was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So these people brought this man now with perfect eyesight to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And again, the Pharisees also ask him the same question. Now, tell us, how did you receive your sight? Fred, we've seen you sitting there for years, and we know it's you. Now, tell us, how did this happen? And he said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I can see. What would you think the response of the Pharisees, anybody that might be a friend, an acquaintance of Fred, ought to be saying about this time? Shouldn't they be rejoicing? Here was a man who his whole life had never, he was born blind. We don't know how old he was, but obviously a mature adult. And there's not one word of, we're so happy for you. We're so happy. We never ever dreamed that this would be made possible for you. In fact, the Pharisees said this in verse 16. This man is not of God. This man is a wicked man, not of God. Why? Because he didn't keep the Sabbath. He did some work on the Sabbath day. Now, others that heard the religious leaders, they were not so quick to judge that the Lord was an ungodly man, because they came back with this question to the Pharisees: how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? If he's a wicked man like you say he is, how was he able to perform this miracle? And it says there was a division among them. They had an argument. There were some of them that were saying, not just anybody can perform miracles. Miracles come from God. But if he was a godly man, he would have kept the Sabbath. So he must be an ungodly sinner. And division among them there in that council. And so they said, Fred, what do you think of him? Verse 17. They couldn't decide. Here were the godly man and on this side and an ungodly man on that side. And they said, Fred, what do you think? And Fred's answer was in verse 18, well, I say he's a prophet. He opened my eyes. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. This thing, it's just kind of like it's on a treadmill, isn't it? Instead of them acknowledging that a miracle of God has taken place, now they've got this division on this side, we've got those that are saying he must be, miracles can only come from God, and others are saying he can't be a godly man because he broke the Sabbath. And Fred says, I think he's a prophet because he's opened my eyes. I think he demonstrated some of God's power. And now it says that they decided, we've got to ask his parents. Let's bring his parents into this. So, we see in verse 18, they didn't believe him. They still did not believe that Fred was the man that had been born blind. And they said, we're not going to believe that this is him until we talk to his parents. They obviously in town knew who his parents were. So we see here in verse 19, they asked the parents, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How does he now see? Is this your son that was born blind? And obviously the answer would have been, yes, this our little baby boy, Fred, that's all grown up. Well, how is it that he sees? And his parents said in verse 20, we know that this is our son, and we know, number two, that he was born blind. But beyond that, by what means he now can see, we do not know. We do not know who opened his eyes. I've always liked this answer of the parents. And there's a reason for it. But they said, he's of age, he's a grown man. Ask him, he'll speak for himself. And it says the parents answered that way because the Jews had already agreed among themselves, if anybody gave any credit or any recognition to the fact that Jesus might be the anointed Christ, the coming Messiah, we're going to throw them out of the synagogue. And so that's why they came back with that answer when they said, what do you think of this man? They said, my son is old enough, he can answer for himself. They were not going to make any kind of commitments. So they said in verse 23, he is of age, ask him. I would have loved to have been there and seen all of this transpiring. Because it comes to verse 24, and here is this group of these Pharisees that are bumbling and fumbling, and it tells us in verse 24, they again called the man that was blind, Fred, come here again. It's these same Pharisees that had been badgering him back and forth, and he said, come here. We want to talk to you again, verse 24. And they said unto him, now, Fred, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And after they said that, Fred looked at them and in verse 25 and he said, whether this man is a sinner or not, I can't tell you. But I'll tell you what I do know. And I know, this is what I know. I was blind. But now, can see you. I can see everything around us. And when he answered them, here again, treadmill, turning you right around. So they said unto him again, verse 26. Now, tell us, would you? What was it that he did to you? What did he do? What did he say? And in verse 27, he answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear, you would not listen. Now, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be one of his disciples? Fred's getting tired of it. And he said, are you asking all of this? Do you want to become a follower of his, this Jesus? Then it says they reviled him. Boy, that ruffled their feathers. They scolded him. And they said, you're one of his disciples, but we are followers of Moses. What did that entail? We follow what? The law. In our, Jerry's and my going through the scriptures this year in a systematic way, I can't remember, it wasn't too many days ago, Jerry and I ran across the reading for that particular day. It was that same sort of a thing. There was a big commotion about the Sabbath. And our Lord answered that the Sabbath was made for whom? Who? Man. And yet you're making this Sabbath violation here a big deal. You've added, with all of your little nitpicky things here, much more than God ever put into telling them that one day a week they would rest, set aside, one day a week. In the Old Testament, even the Sabbath was for the benefit of the farm animals, so they could rest up. It says that in the Old Testament. But down through the years, the rabbis had added so much, put things into it, had made it so much more than God ever intended it to be. And we see here, they said, we're Moses' disciples. And we know that God spoke unto Moses. But as for this man, we don't know where he's from. The man answered and said unto them in verse 30, why, herein is a marvelous thing. You don't know where he has come from, but he has opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't hear sinners, but if a person is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he'll listen to him. Since the world began, nobody has ever heard of a man opening the eyes of one that was born blind. Now, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And that was all they wanted to listen to at that point. It tells us in verse 44, They answered and said unto him, you were born altogether in sins, and do you think you're going to sit there and teach us? And they cast him out. So we see here the questions, we see the answers, we've seen the cross-examination, we've seen the answers that this man gave concerning the Lord, testifying of his goodness, of his greatness, how that, how can you say this man is a sinner? Look at what he's done. And we see here, the more they questioned, the blinder, is that a word? Sounds good, doesn't it? More blind. I like blinder better. I thought there was going to be some grammatical expert. The more they questioned, the blinder these religious leaders became. But what was happening to this man? He was seeing what? More clearly, the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who he is, but I'm telling you, this is unheard of. Nobody has ever seen or heard anything like this happening. This man must be of God. So we see the product, thirdly, in verses 35 through 41. We see some decisions that were made. That's the product. In verses 35 through 38a, we see belief on the part of Fred. Look at what we see here in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, hey, Fred, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, you're looking at him, and he is the one that's talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. We see his belief. When he came face to face with the Lord, he wasn't struggling with the man that opened my eyes must have been some sinner because he did it on the Sabbath day and this, that, and the other thing. But the question was, do you believe in the Son of God? It was an interesting question. That conversation had never come up in this 9th chapter before. But when the Lord sought him out after they had cast him out of the synagogue, the Lord was, of course, watching all of this, was aware of it, and he went up to him and he said, Fred, do you believe in the Son of God? And his answer, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said, it's me. And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. In contrast, we see the unbelief in verses 39 through 41. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, Who could see at the outset of this chapter? Pardon? The Pharisees, the religious leaders. And the Lord said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that they which see might become what? Blind. And they which see not, like you, Fred, might see. And that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him, they weren't just standing there by themselves. There were Pharisees standing right there listening to this whole conversation. "Fred, do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he, Lord?" "It's me. I believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. And then the one standing there heard him say, "This is why I came into the world. I came into the world for judgment, so that those who think they can see will actually be made blind, and those who can't see, that their eyes will be opened and they will be able to see the truth concerning me." And so some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remaineth." Yes, are we blind also? Yep, and the sin remains. The chapter ends with the blind man seeing clearly, both spiritually and physically. Not only were his physical eyes open, but during this whole thing, he saw the truth concerning the Lord. And in the midst of all of this, here were these religious leaders who supposedly knew the truth about God. They were blind as bats concerning the truth regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, why he had come. And because they maintained their position, not a one of them said, "Well, maybe this Jesus isn't such a bad guy after all." The Lord said, "Your sin remains. Your sin remains in you. You say, you know, we know that if you were truly of God, you wouldn't have worked on the Sabbath day. We know this, that, and the other thing about you. We can see the truth about you, Jesus." And Jesus came back at them in verse 40 and said, "You claim to see, but your blindness remains." I was thinking about those who are around us, thinking about how that people that we're around, you ask somebody, "Who's Jesus? Why did he come? What was he here for?" How do people respond to that? What's their answer? What do they say? Was he just a good man? How do you get to heaven? What's the way? You say, "Well, I know the truth concerning the Lord Jesus." Well, praise the Lord. Our eyes have been opened. But there are blind ones around us who think they can see. It's amazing how many people, when you talk with them about are they ready for eternity, how many people will come back and tell you, yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. Have you noticed that? And they're blind as bats, and they need to have their eyes open concerning the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us share the truth so others can truly see. We are in the midst of a lot of blind people, spiritually speaking. May God help us spread the word. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this truth tonight. Thank you for this story. We think of the purposes, how that I think of here was this man we've called Fred. We don't know how old he was, but you had created him a blind man, and for all those years, you had been preparing him for the day when you walked past him and anointed his eyes with that clay. How we praise you and glorify you for your ways, Lord. I think of John's point this morning about how for years they prayed about no children. You weren't in any hurry, and in your time, just like with this man, you had worked your works for this particular day when your works might be made manifest. And you opened Fred's eyes, but in the meantime, the eyes of the religious ones became even more blind than ever before. Take us safely to our homes. We thank you for this time now. In your name I pray, amen.